But right now we're heading up to Carrington, the Research Extension Center, where Mike Ostley conducted a field day yesterday and the cover crop grazing tour yesterday. So let's find out. Mike, first of all, welcome to Farm Talk again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How was the cover crop grazing tour yesterday at the Carrington Research Extension Center?
Yeah, it was great. Well, we sure picked a nice afternoon to be hosting it out here. And we had a pretty decent crowd, and we had a lot of great discussion of what's going on out in the field here this fall.
Yeah. Well, in cover crops, grazing cover crops, can people make money at that? I mean, we don't necessarily need to or want to grow crops that we can't make money at.
Yeah, you know, that's traditionally been one of the knocks on cover crops as a standalone practice, is that it's tough to see the short-term return when you're doing that. But if you have the ability to have livestock grazing your cover crops each year, that's really where you can see that short-term financial kickback from having those cover crops out on the field. So you're going in after your cash crop harvest, or if you have a full season cover crop, either way, but you're going out there taking advantage of all that lush green growth, in addition to very likely some volunteer cereals or other crop residue that might be in the field.
Now, whether it's full season cover crops or grazing cover crops, is this something that we'd have to dedicate a whole field to? We couldn't use it for something else?
Well, the idea that we're working with out here is that we want a person to be able to take a cash crop off and then essentially get an extra couple months' worth of use out of that same land by having livestock being able to use it. And so we're trying to work out systems here. We don't have to necessarily modify much of what a person might already be doing to grow their cash crops, but then also get that, again, additional couple months out here in a year. And in North Dakota, the summers are short enough, so if you can do something different with the land for an extra couple of months in the fall, which may include having the livestock out there, just increases the productivity so much more.
And increases the cash flow, because if the cows are...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I go to the buffet, I can only eat so much. So if the cows are eating the cover crops, they're not eating something else that costs the producer money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we were looking at different ways to work through this with both corn and wheat as the cash crop. Just kind of demonstrating how we went through that process for each crop, and then just kind of what it looks like right now. So we're pretty happy with the way it turned out this year. We had plenty of rain, so good establishment success on our cover crops, and it's looking pretty good.
All right. Well, Mike, how did you do it? I know you were really experimenting with interseeding, which might be a totally new concept to a few guys out there. So talk about the interseeding, how it works, and how it worked for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, great question. So with the corn in particular, it's always been kind of a challenge to figure out how you might get that cover crop going. You know, one of the common trends in other parts of the United States is to, you know, broadcast a cover crop seed in the middle of the season. Out here in central North Dakota, you can't always bank on it being a rainfall event to get that seed germinated. So our thought process is to try to get that planted with a planter to get that good seed-to-soil contact. So we actually took an old 71 Flex John Deere, had row units mounted on a three-point bar, so you can offset the rows to go down the middle of the planted corn rows. So we planted this cover crop in early July. So the corn was like B5 or so, and we were really happy with the way that unit worked.
Is it now V5, the corn is about how tall?
So this was, again, it was right before 4th of July, and then I can tell you the corn was definitely a little bit above knee high at that point.
Okay, so we don't need any specialized equipment.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of equipment out there now, and where some of the manufacturers are making something specifically for planting between rows for various reasons. You know, the way we went about it, and assuming a person maybe only has 50 or 100 acres that they're maybe going to be grazing on, just taking an old planter, modifying it to fit down the way you want it is a very economical approach.
All right. And what are some candidates for, whether it's interseeding, but candidates for grazing cover crops that worked really well for you this year?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is when you're planting with any kind of a planter is you do want to try to get your cover crop seed, whether it's a single crop or if you have a mix, you want it to, you need to know your seed size and be able to calibrate based on seed size. So, you know, some of it's also a mixture of turnips, radishes, like Virginian head lentils. You know, those all have about the same seed size. That works pretty well in a mix. Or you can make as soon as you include something like rye in there, though, with vastly different seed size, the calibration on your equipment becomes a lot more difficult. But so the bottom line is people can use whatever they think will work, whatever they might have access to. And I think just having that green growth there in the fall and keeping things nutritious for the cattle, there's a lot of flexibility. But the biggest thing is what you have access to and what you can get to work with your planting equipment.
Sure, yeah, because if you're planting rye and some of these turnips, so those are two different size seeds and major challenges there to make the planter work right, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
correct. Yeah. All righty. Well, that sounds like fun. And, again, good turnout yesterday. And I don't know, will you be talking about grazing cover crops at some meetings upcoming this winter?
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to have a couple of on-farm tours that we are going to schedule here sometime likely in later October, and assuming there's no snow, to look at some grazing in action and see how that goes. So stay tuned for some future dates for some on-farm grazing tours as well.
Super. All righty. We will check that. All right. Now we're visiting with Mike Ostley, Carrington Research Extension Center agronomist. Mike, now comes the fun part of our interview. I see by your social media account you're out in the weeds today.
Yeah, that was from yesterday. But, we were able to harvest our hemp variety trial out here, and it was an interesting project, but it went a little bit smoother than I thought. But it was trying to figure out how to get all the material through the combine is always a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, if you've got a big case or a big John Deere combine, but you've got the little research combine, which is a little taller than a human, but that's about it. So, what was your yield, or do you know what your yield was yet? And
I can't tell you what the yield is yet. We don't know that. And you know, that's one of the tricky parts about harvesting at any scale is you're harvesting it fairly wet, and so when you pull it off the field, you got to get it on the dryer right away. So ours is still sitting there on the dryer right now, and we'll have to figure out the how the production was later. There appeared to be some pretty good differences between the varieties that we had. It was really interesting because some of the varieties are what I would call a semi-dwarf, and they were maybe only 6 feet tall. And then we had a few of those varieties that were up there around 10 feet tall. And I think some of those really lend themselves to harvesting a lot better than the others.
Yeah. Now, what you are harvesting, the purpose would be to extract the seed only, or are you looking at some other things? Yeah.
Yeah, our research out here this year is focused specifically on the harvesting the grain and getting the hemp seed oil from the grain. Yep.
All righty. Super interesting. All right. Well, there's another use for another use for going to a winter meeting. So another reason to go to a winter meeting. So, alrighty, Mike Ostley, NDSU Extension, Carrington Research Extension Center agronomist. Thank you so much for the visit. Any other things you want to share today?
Nope, just hope everybody has a safe harvest here once the soybeans start in the next week or so.
All right. Yeah, they're turning fast now, aren't they? The last couple of days have helped.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all righty. Well, Mike, again.
Absolutely. We're, yep.
Thank you so much for the visit. Have a safe rest of the week.
Yep, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right, and so thanks to Mike Ostley for all the work he does out there and being the host yesterday for the Grazing Cover Crops Workshop there at Carrington.